This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. Dear brothers and sisters, let us begin our day with a morning invocation. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم We continue with this second dua. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين It's a blessing that we are able to be online. Even we have been instructed by the authority to stay home, to stay safe with our family. But Allah Rabbul Alamin has made things so easy for all of us to seek knowledge that we can still carry on with our classes, seeking knowledge through online, and this is the technology that Allah have given us today. We pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who will make use of the technology to get closer to Allah, but not to create fake news and also to provoke or to promote hatred. Brothers and sisters who have been following our new Muslim class, may Allah make it easy for all of us to stay on, continue listening, learning about the beautiful of Islam as a way of life. Now we have been talking about how to purify our inner self, the inward, the spiritual purification is to stay away from any form of shirk. We have talked about that earlier, about how to have the right faith in Allah, how to have the right iman, how to have the right belief. Al-iman as-sadiq, the right belief, because there are a lot of people who believe in so many things, and sometimes our belief contradicts with what Allah the Creator want us to believe in. So we have gone through that part about how to strengthen our belief by having the right belief in the sixth article of faith. Believe in Allah, the way to believe in Allah by following what Allah said in His book, believe in the angels, believe in the Holy Scriptures, believe in all the Prophet and Messengers, believe in the last day, and believe in Qada and Qadar, predestination, what has been ordained. So we have started our class, keep on asking, and we never fail to ask Allah every day to protect us from all the danger, all the calamity that only Allah knows what is going to happen to all of us. What is happening today is Allah qada. Without His permission, nothing happened. So we as a believer accept that this is part of the qadar of Allah. But then how do we move on? And that's why today we are talking about the external cleanliness, purification. We have the internal is your heart, have the right belief. No shirk. Don't have any partners beside Allah. Then to have the physical cleanliness, you must know how to purify your mind. How to purify our mind? To purify our mind means we do not allow our mind to be corrupted by all the hearsay, fake news, you know, or the wrong information, wrong knowledge. Because there are two types of knowledge, brothers and sisters. I believe all of you who have been following us for years should know the basic about two types of knowledge. One, ilm nafi', knowledge that sure to benefit you, me, and all of us. The second one is ilm la yanfa', is also a kind of knowledge. Like the people who have the IT with them, who are specialized in IT, they use the technology to send a lot of wrong information to create confusion. This is also knowledge. It's not easy to do this, but they are making use of the knowledge not for the benefit of the people, just to create confusion. So you must purify your mind by seeking the true knowledge. And the pure knowledge is what Allah said in His book, the Holy Quran. The speech of Allah, for asdaq al-hadith, is the best. And what the Prophet have conveyed to us. Why? Because our Prophet, Allah said to him, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Prophet Muhammad will never utter, will not say anything except what Allah revealed to him. He don't follow his desire, his feeling. What Allah revealed to him, that is what he'll convey to us. This is the man that Allah has chosen to be his last prophet and messenger for humanity. Now, let us go to the third thing that we are going to talk about today, about the physical purification. The beauty of this religion is not just teaching you how to pray, how to fast, the fasting month is getting closer, but everything you do, there is a system, there is an SOP for us. Everything is being guided. Allah is pure. He will never accept anything that we do that is not clean. In the heart, that is not sincere, you have a hidden agenda, and physically, you must know how to clean ourselves. And with the situation we are in, we have been reminded by the health department, by the doctors, by the specialists, please keep yourself clean, wash your hand properly, and so on. Because cleanliness is part of faith. Now, before we go into purification, let me give you some insight about understanding what is cleanliness. Cleanliness, according to the tradition, is different. Cleanliness towards religion is a different concept totally. Now, there are three types of water. Normally when you talk about cleanliness, you refer to water. Why? Because water is the one that we use normally to clean ourselves. to wash our dishes, yeah, and also to clean our body, to clean our clothes, to clean our car. Everything that you talk about cleaning, then normally all of us will refer to water, the best element, the most powerful element for us to use to clean oneself. Now, there are three types of liquid or cold water. Now, one is known as tahir. Tahir in the Islamic term means tahir fi nafsi wa mutahhir li ghairihi, meaning something that is pure and clean by itself, like the sea water, the river's water, rain is pure and clean, and they are able to clean others. You can make use of this water to clean something, to clean your utensil, to clean your car, yeah, and so on. Yeah. Then you have the second type of water called tuhur. Tuhur means huwa tahir fi nafsi wa ghayr al-mutahhir li ghayrihi. That water is clean and pure by itself, but it is not clean for other. Meaning, just give you an example. Water juices that we are drinking, coffee, tea, they are clean water, but now that clean water is being used for something else to make it become a drink. Coffee, tea, juices, you know, syrups and everything. You have water-based, but now this water is clean for you to consume, but it cannot be used to clean your utensil, your car, your clothes, and so on. That is called tuhur. Then you have, some people will call it mustakmar, means the water that is clean is being used for other purpose. Once it been used for other purpose, then you cannot use that to clean the other things. Yeah? Then you have the third one, also is a form of water called najis. Huwa ghayra tahir fi nafsi wa la mutahhir li ghayrihi. Najis is all the urine and all the filthy water that you know is not clean by itself. It smells, is dirty, and of course, it cannot clean other things. Now let us go back to the book. This is the book that we normally refer for our new Muslim class. You can get it, yeah, online. Now, the Arabic word about cleanliness or purification denotes purity and cleanliness, tahara. Word tahara. So next time when you hear the word tahara, you know we are talking the Islamic, yeah, purification, the Islamic cleanliness, not the traditional way, but the religious way. Now Allah Almighty, who created us fitra, clean and pure, we are not corrupted yet. All baby was created clean and pure. He commands all Muslims to purify themselves outwardly, physically, from forbidden appearance and all type of physical impurities, and inwardly from the unpardonable sins of shirk. I've said about iman, must have the right belief first. There's no point you keep yourself physically so clean, but deep in your heart you are so, yeah, corrupted. You have the wrong belief. Even you are very clean outside, but to Allah there's no value. Only people will value you. Oh, you are a very clean person, but now your mind is also easy to be corrupted. You always think negatively about so many things, then you hardly can have friends around you. Because everything to you is negative. Because you think so high about yourself, you forget that everybody is just like this. Yeah, there's not much difference between you and others, except certain characteristics that we follow may make us different. Now, as well as diseases of the heart, now, deep in our heart also, we are exposed to a lot of diseases. Yeah? What are the diseases? Example, enviness, pride, hatred, jealousy, stinginess. Yeah? All these are very negative feeling, and if we entertain, then we know there is a disease in our heart. And that's why our Prophet did mention in one of his saying, Allah fi jasad ibn Adam mudgha idha saluha salahat jasad kullu wa idha fasada fasadat jasad kulluhu Allah wa hiya qalb. Allah wa hiya qalb. The Prophet is trying to remind us that in the human body, in our body, there is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is good, positive, clean, healthy, then it will produce all the healthy faculty. But when this piece of flesh is rotten, corrupted, negative, everything becomes negative. And the Prophet said, that is the heart. That is what is inside our body. Deep inside our body, there's a piece of meat that if it's good, there's a flesh. When it's good, alhamdulillah, everything becomes positive. If the heart is pure, your thinking is always pure, very positive. When you look at things, you look very positively. When you listen, you're very careful. You have the filter kind of mechanism. The mechanism that always help you to filter whatever you hear so that you don't let all the corrupted messages corrupt you and change your mindset. And when you have even your tongue, you become so positive. You're so careful when you want to say something. You always make sure what you say is right, is true, and it benefits you and others. And your hand, your leg, every part of your body become clean. Now, so once they do so, they become good. Everything turns to be positive. They become worthy to you, and Allah will love you for that. Allah love people who are clean in out. Somebody may be very particular about cleanliness, the physical cleanliness. But when they speak, only Allah knows. So negative, and their heart is full of enviness, hatred. Now let us see what Allah said in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 2:2:2. Allah said, Allah loves those who turn to Him constantly, and He loves those who keep themselves pure and clean. Remember, Allah loves those who turn to Him constantly. Consistently, that means you do not disconnect yourself with Allah. And that's why we have been talking about praying 5 times a day and do whatever that please Allah, just to make sure that we are in communication with Allah constantly. And we just start our class, we chant short prayer. Why we do that? Just to make sure we continue communicating ourselves to Allah, asking Him for protection, asking Him for guidance, and seek His blessing and mercy. And He, Allah, loves those who keep themselves pure and clean. Hibbul mutatahhirin. He loves those who are clean. But once again, brother and sister, don't forget, when Allah talk about pure and cleanliness, talking about physical and spiritual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also command them to purify themselves prior to standing before Him in prayer. Now, as a Muslim, you know, one day we'll learn how to perform our prayer, how to worship Allah the way He wants us to worship Him, not the way we like to do. We always like to do a lot of things based on what I like, not what Allah likes. No, that is where we went wrong. Religion is not here to follow us. We are supposed to follow the guidance of the religion, that is Islam. Give you another example. If man generally clean himself and put on his finest clothing, garment, before meeting a person who has a worldly position of authority. You know, when you want to see somebody of authority, of course, you always try to dress yourself properly. Yeah? So I says, if you are going to meet the king or president or prime minister or just any minister, normally, the way we react, we start to put on our finest clothing to make sure that, you know, our appearance will attract them and is a show of respect. Like now today, if you go for any kind of occasion, any kind of meeting, something, they have some kind of reminder, yeah, the dress code. You know, it was very strange. Even in the bed area, example, if you want to enter a casino, you must dress properly. There is a dress code. Even going into a place to gamble, you know it's not good for you and not good for the family. No gambler end up to be rich. But still people want to gamble. It was shocking, yeah? I've seen a place, they said, anybody who want to, especially the male, want to enter the casino, yeah, like in certain countries, say, you must dress batik. Yeah, there is a dress code. You don't just dress any dress. They don't allow you to wear, you know, the t-shirt to come in, you know. Just an example. Yeah? Now, we know surely we will make sure that we dress up properly before meeting the authority. Now we are going to meet the King of all King, Allah Almighty, the Creator. The Chinese call Tian Kong. Now, what is the required purification for performing a prayer? This is just the beginning. Because we Muslims always stay connected to Allah. Why do we pray? We pray to make sure that we are connected to Allah. Allah says, "Aqimis salat li zikri." Establish your prayer so that you will always remember me. That is the beginning. But when you train yourself to remember Allah while you are praying, then you will learn about how to remember Him even outside the prayer, wherever you are. And that's where there's another ayah. Allah remind us, الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون ما في السماوات والأرض ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض. They are people who remember Allah while standing, while sitting down, while lying down, wherever they are, in the masjid, the mosque, in the market, while driving, in the office, while walking, while jogging, wherever you are, you will be connected to Allah once you establish your prayer. Now, Allah command Muslims to purify themselves and perform the partial ablution. There are two types of purification in Islam. One is called minor, we call wudu, ablution before you pray. You see, when a Muslim, before they want to start to pray, they will go and take some ablution, then they will go and they go to the washroom, sometimes they go to a special place, and then they start to take the ablution, wash their hand, mouth, nose, face, hand until the elbow, wipe their head, ear, and their feet. That is called minor ablution, wudu. In Arabic, they call wudu. Yeah? Why you do that before engaging in such ritual act as performing the prayer? Yeah. Touching the Quran is highly recommended, and making tawaf when you're going to Umrah or Hajj, you have to go for the tawaf around the Kaaba. You have to have a wudu. You have to purify yourself first. You cannot do this ritual without taking your ablution or wudu. If you don't do that, then whatever you do will not be valid. When the ablution is invalid, then the prayer is not valid. Then the tawaf is not valid, and so on. It is linked to one another. Our Prophet did mention that cleanliness is the key to prayer. Prayer is the key to paradise. This is the SOP that Allah has laid down for those who want to worship Him. It's a discipline. He, Allah, also commands us to perform wudu before doing a number of things. It's highly recommended. Yeah? Like before sleeping also is good to keep yourself clean. Because Allah loves those who are clean. Yeah? Now, to all the brothers and sisters, I'm going to show you, yeah, how the Prophet cleansed himself when he wanted to perform his ablution. The way the Prophet showed us first is important. Number one, you must have an intention. Yeah, you must have an intention. Yanwi, they said, Sifatul Wudu. Yeah? The way to perform your minor ablution. You start by saying Bismillah and wash your hand to the wrist until here. Minimum one time, maximum three times. Yeah? You sit and وَيَقْسِلُ كَفَيْهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّةً. Then وَيْتَمَتْمَضُ. You put some water into your mouth to gargle, and you throw it out, and some water will go into the nose and you blow it out. Yeah? That means you get some water, some go to the mouth, some go to the nose. The one in the mouth, you will gargle and you throw it out, and the one in the nose, you blow it out to clean the nostril. There's all the tiny hair inside here act like a filter so that if anything big, they cannot just enter through the nose. You know, anything enter the nose very fast, it causes a lot of pain, you know. The nose always have some reaction to the throat, yeah. And that's why sometimes you have the ENT, ear, nose, and throat. So Allah taught us how to keep ourselves clean, how to make these passages clean, yeah. And then three times too. And then you wash your face three times. I repeat Bismillah three times, right, three times, left. And then you bring up some water to the mouth and to the nose. The gun, the mouth, gargle three times, and the nose also three times. Then everything three times. Then you wash your face three times. Then you wash your hand to the elbow three times, right, three times, left. Then you, your two hand is wet, you wipe over the wet hand, you wipe over the whole head from the front to the back. Wamsahu, yeah, ru'usam. And then you wipe over from the front to the back, back to the front, and then put your index finger into your ear and make one round. When it comes to the head, you always do one time. One, front to the back, back to the front, the index finger, make a turn, clean the outer part of the ears. The outer part also, that means you don't put water into the ears. Yeah? You just, you know, wipe over and go through, yeah? Pass through the ear. Yeah? Then, the last one, you wash your feet, yeah, from the toes to the ankle, three times right, three times left. But always remember, if you do three times, every part is three times except the head and the ear, only one. If you take ablution two times, that means you wash every part twice, then come to the head and the ear once. And you can even do all the washing one time. And the same go to the head and the ear. When come to the head, brothers and sisters, remember what Allah said and what the Prophet have taught us. I'm sharing with you the way the Prophet took his ablution. Yeah? When come to the head, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. Allah even said, and the Prophet showed us the way, the right understanding, wipe over your head, remember. There is nothing to do with the hair, but it so happened the hair is on the head, then you have to wipe over the hair too. But traditionally, some people would just wet some parts of the hair. They don't wipe over the head. Where Allah and the Prophet have shown us, and Allah said, ru'usakum, not your head, but your head. So what happened if the men who are bald, no hair, they don't have to wipe over? Because there's no hair, so what's the point for you to wet the hair? There's no hair to wet. So when you come to the head, please remember, yeah, wipe over. This how you do the this mother, the thumb here, go in, meet up, front to back, back to front, index finger, and then you make one round. Alhamdulillah. Now after you finish taking this wudu ablution, known as minor ablution, minor cleanliness, then you make one simple dua. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And the benefit of doing this, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever make this dua supplication after taking your wudu, your ablution, eight gates of paradise now is open for you to choose which one you want to enter. That is the benefit of making this dua. Because after cleaning yourself, now you are reminding yourself and purifying your heart, that you are telling yourself, declaring yourself, that I will not worship other than Allah alone. And I will not commit any form of shirk, la sharika lah. And you bear witness again that, and Prophet Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. If anybody die after that, Allahu Akbar, the significant is that Allah opened up eight gates of paradise. Paradise have eight gates. 100 levels, then you are allowed to choose which gate do you want to enter. Look how beautiful this region. Little effort, huge rewards. Allahu Akbar. Allah loves us so much. You just do a little ritual, He rewards you with paradise. But remember, the first thing you must do is your intention must be right. While you are doing this, make sure nothing discharges from the front and the back. If there's a breaking of wind before you end washing your feet until the ankle, right and left, then you have to start everything again before you pray. And do it properly, because the perfection of prayer is also connected to the perfection of your ablution. When you perform your ablution correctly, properly, perfectly follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way, not follow my way, no. Then, when you perform your prayer and you follow the way of the Prophet, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, then you have a special feeling. You will feel by yourself the satisfaction that you have when you do everything correctly. Anything we do in life, brother and sister, if you do it correctly, with the right knowledge, you don't play around, you know, you don't just do for the sake of doing, but you make sure you clean every part properly, you will see, you will be so satisfied, and you make Allah so happy. Because when anything you want to do for the sake of Allah, there is one dua that the Prophet always remind us to recite. And one of the dua is, Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa syukri krika wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, help me to remember you in the best way, the way you want me to remember you. And the best way is to pray. There's ruku', there's sujood. And then help me to be thankful to you so that I will not take life for granted. I will not take things for granted. Everything that you give us is a blessing, is a ni'mah. I should be grateful and be thankful. Anybody give me something, any advice or any help, I should be grateful and thankful. And we said, Allah, Allahumma inni ala shukrika wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, help me to perform the best ritual, act of worship. When you want to take ablution, you want to do the best one. And the best one is follow Prophet Muhammad, someone else. Don't be confused. Don't follow anybody except Prophet Muhammad. Okay. You are okay. But a lot of people are not exposed to it. So when you want to follow someone, especially for the new brother and sister, we hope that you will follow those who have the right knowledge that they are following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you will never go wrong. Ya Rabbi Allah, make it easy for all of us, inshallah. Yeah? Now, it is very important for us to also know what is najas. But before we go into that, that is the minor ablution. Yeah? And you also have another kind of ritual impurity called hadas. And also you have the major ablution. Major ablution is called ghusl, taking a bath. Why you do that? You do that when you have few things that happen to you. Number one, if you're married, when you have any intimacy between husband and wife. For those who are not married, if you have wet dreams. For those women, when they finish their menstruation, their period, then they should take a major ablution. Now, earlier I have shown you the minor one. That is the normal ablution. When you don't have, if you don't experience wet dreams, it's not because of after menstruation or periods for the woman, and it's nothing to do with that you are having any intimacy with your spouses, then that is called minor ablution. But when you go into the other, the second one, then you have to have a major ablution. What is major ablution? Now I'm going to show you again, so that all of us, as beginners, as Muslim, of course, this is called fardu ain. This is knowledge that is necessary for every Muslim, because you have to keep yourself clean and pure before you start your prayer. If not, your prayer is not valid. So if one of us have gone through having intimacy, or you have wet dreams and so on, then you go to the washroom. Now you have to take major ablution, known as ghusl. The minor is known as wudu. Remember, wudu is minor ablution. Ghusl is major ablution. Now, how to perform the major ablution? Today, alhamdulillah, we have water supply all the way from the dam to our house, to our private room. Alhamdulillah, this is a great blessing, ni'mah from Allah. You know, in the time of Prophet, they have to walk out to the well and pick up the water and bring it back to their private home and also their private room, their bathroom, not near the well at home. And then they start to take their minor or major ablution. And they are very careful in using water, because water is very, very important at that time. And you don't have the water like we have today. Big dam, no, is the well, and you have to take it and put in a pail and then bring it home. Now, water at that time is more important than just oil and other things in the earth. Without water, all of us will die. Now, when you have the water, the shower, Allahu Akbar, you go into your washroom. If you want to minimize, then immediately you wash your private part. You are going to the minimum one. You wash your private part. Make sure you are clean. The prophet normally will use the left hand and wash clean the private part, and then the hand that cleaned the private part, he will just rub on the earth. Yeah. Today we have sabun. We have all this body wash. You can use that to clean the private part. One, you are sure now you are clean. Make sure there's no discharge anymore, front or back. Now you take your ablution. Now start to take your ablution. Like how I've shown you earlier. Your wudu. Remember? I believe that you still remember because I just shared with you maybe about 5 or 10 minutes before this. Now, take your ablution. Like normal, but the only thing that you will not do first is to wash your feet. The other part is the same. Bismillah. 1, 3 times. 3 times. Mouth, nose, face, hand to the elbow, right, and then left. Always start from the right. Wipe your head, front, back, ear. Then put your head under the shower 3 times. 1, insert your finger into the hair so that the scalp, all the water will reach the scalp and be clean. 1 time, 2 times, do it the same, 3, and then wash your body. Then wash your body. Put your right side, always start from the right under the shower. You make sure the water run through the whole body and make sure that is also wash something that is close to your private part between your two thighs. You must make sure that you run the water around that area. Then the left side, and if you are not sure that the right, the front and the back is been washed properly, you do the 3rd time. First right, left, then front and back. Make sure the whole body is wet and the water run through the whole body. Lastly, you wash your feet 3 times right, 3 times left until the ankle. Make sure that while you are doing this, nothing invalid your ablution. No discharge from the front or back. But after you finish doing that, and then while you are wiping, suddenly you break your wudu, breaking of wind, then you just take ablution. You don't have to take a major ablution anymore because you have ended that package. That ritual have ended. Alhamdulillah. And the same thing when you leave the washroom, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Khalas. That is the minimum. If you want to add by saying, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin, you are welcome, but sufficient with the first recitation. So you are ready for the prayer. When you have done that and nothing discharged, no discharge from the front, no break of wind, you can go straight and perform your prayer. That is the major ablution known as ghusul. Remember that. Yeah? And brothers and sisters, Islam is so beautiful and so detailed. Even how to clean yourself, there is a proper manner. There is an adab. Yeah, there is a discipline. Now then people may ask, can I wash myself naked? Can I be in the toilet? Yes, you can when you are sure that nobody sees you. Because you have to wash the whole body. But if you are in a public area, then you should be careful of your aura. Again, men and men also have their own aura. Women and women also have their own aura. But when you are secure in a private area, no one sees you, then you can. No problem. Yeah? Now, it is also very important. I may miss something earlier, but now I'm going to recall it back. When you want to go into the washroom, You have to clean yourself. Make sure you will go in with your left leg. Your left leg step in first and recite one simple dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal kaba'ith. I repeat, when you enter the washroom or the toilet, say Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal kaba'ith. Brother and sister, that's why we say Islam is a way of life. Anything you do, it can be an act of worship and ibadah. If you follow the discipline, the adab, the manners that the Prophet had taught us. And anything you do will be accepted as an act of worship, will be rewarded. Can you imagine? Going into the washroom also, you will be rewarded if you follow the adab. Like how you eat, you start with your right hand, you say Bismillah, is an act of ibadah. Going to the washroom with your left leg in first. And what is the meaning of Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-qudfi wal-qaba'ith? Is remind us, I seek refuge with you, O Allah, from the male and female jinn. This is also to remind us, jinn is very close to us. Like how close the angel to us, there is a jinn who is very close to us. And we have our house, we have our bathroom, our master bedroom, we have room for your children, you may have a reading room, so many rooms. But there is a room for the jinn. And the jinn choose to be in the toilet. And nowadays, in a common arrangement, most of the toilet is attached with the bathroom. But if you have a separate one, anything you go in where you want to respond to the call of nature, you go in left leg, say Allahumma inni ta'undu bika min al-qudsi wal-qaba'it. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the male and female jinn. The jinn is there, you can't see them, but they are there. So we always seek Allah's protection. And remember, brothers and sisters, washroom is a very dangerous area because of the water and all the washing, body wash and all the shampoo. It can be very slippery. So be very careful. The best way, when you go in, it was dry. Then after washing yourself, it's good for you to wipe it. Yeah, maybe you use a mop and so on and make sure it's dry again so that the next person who is going to go in, they can go in safely. If not, we are worried when you enter the washroom, it's dry. Then you wet the washroom with all the shampoo and all this body wash. Then it becomes slippery and you are out. The next person, maybe your mother, maybe your dad, maybe your children, who is not aware about how slippery the floor is, and they start to just walk in, run in, they fall. And you know, washroom is so small. You have sink here, you have this and that. They may hit the head and anything happen. That's why there's a lot of accident in the toilet and washroom. Please be careful. Yeah, what you want the best for yourself, keep the toilet and washroom dry and clean. The same you want for others. Allah help those who help themselves and who care for others. Always do that. I've seen a lot of time, I heard that people fall in the washroom. Suddenly I experienced that too sometimes. But if you are a person who's very flexible, doing a lot of exercise, at least you know how to control your imbalances. If not, can you imagine? That's why Islam always said prevention is better than cure. Why must you wait until something happened and then you regret and then you want to change? Let us make sure that each time when you went into the washroom, especially the bathroom, make sure that you make it dry. Use the mop, dry it before you leave it. For the second user, who may be your loved one. Allahu Akbar. Now, when you enter the washroom with a prayer, when you come out, you leave the washroom, you will step out the washroom with your right leg. You step out with your right leg. Enter left, you step out with your right leg. And make a short dua. Ghufranak. Just say that. The minimum. Ghufranak. There's other dua. Alhamdulillahillazi. Yeah. Zahaba anni aza wal afani. All praise to you, O Allah. I have managed to release myself normally, and by doing that, I feel better, I feel healthier. Of course, brother and sister, if you can urine properly, you can go to the toilet for the call of nature smoothly, it's really a blessing. You don't have to struggle. Some people struggle. Yeah, when the call of nature is like a jihad for them, like, alhamdulillah, so enigma, you say, all praise to you, O Allah. Indeed, I have a good, I release everything smoothly, alhamdulillah, and I feel better, I feel healthier, now. Or the minimum, ghufranak. Ghufranak means, I seek your forgiveness, O Allah. We keep on reminding ourselves, so important to ask Allah for forgiveness. Seek His pardon. Brothers and sisters, I think we have shared with you the important topic about how to purify yourself with the minor cleanliness called wudu before you pray any prayer, and also the major ablution. Remember, major ablution come in a package with the minor ablution. You start with minor and then you end with major. But don't forget, don't wash your feet until the last. After the head and the ear, put your head under the shower. If there's no shower, you take some water with a container and pour it on the head once, put down the container, and then you insert your finger into your hair so that the water will run through the scalp and clean the whole head. Treat them one, and then you insert your finger, and then two, you massage again, three, and then water you pour onto your body. Now three times just on the head and three times on the body. Start with right. Always start with right. And make sure all part of the body is been washed. Then alhamdulillah, you're ready for the prayer. You don't have to take another ablution when you want to pray, because you have taken your major ablution, and the major ablution come together with the minor ablution. So there's no need after that. When you want to make a prayer, you still want to take wudu, no need, unless after that something happened to you, there's a discharge or break of wind, then you have to just renew your wudu. No need to take the major ablution because you have ended the package. We hope that you have the right understanding, and if still that we are confused, it's very important for us to ask so we don't do it wrongly. And questioning is the key of knowledge. Because what I'm trying to share with you, all the brothers and sisters, I may have the right understanding based on the knowledge that I've gone through, that I've been asking my scholar before to make sure I do understand this properly, because this is my daily ritual. Because daily we must pray, daily we must take ablution, and maybe when you have any intimacy, then you have to take a major ablution, that is ghusl. So I must really learn all these things correctly. Because something that you do daily, we want to do the best. So if you don't understand, you are not clear, after this, we have some time for you to ask questions. And if somebody who is shy in the future, you can ask us, yeah, by privately, no problem. But it's important, thing that you don't know, you just have to be humble, be sincere to yourself, and seek further clarification. Don't just think, oh, I know. Because normally that is why in our exercise in the new Muslim class, normally we have volunteers, we have our buddies who will guide you. Sister will go to the sister washroom or the ablution area, and they will show you how to take your ablution. Not just theory, they will show you, yeah, practically how to do it. The male also will go to the male area to take ablution. We have the male bodies and the female bodies. But now we are all responding to the MCO, so we are not able to guide you practically, but we have shown you the way, and you can do it by yourself. And if you have problem, you have the right to ask us, yeah, as soon as possible. Don't delay. Because this is the thing that you do daily, you don't want to delay until next Saturday. No. We know that we have been doing this for the born Muslim, but we do not know whether we are following the way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. Anything to do with act of worship, ibadah, we don't follow tradition. Don't follow just anybody, because Allah command us to follow one man, that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what we are teaching all of you, based on the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, yeah, to perform our ablution properly, correctly, and then when we pray, we do it correctly, perfectly. I believe you will feel so good for yourself. When you do things properly, correctly, the satisfaction is always there. So now I'm going to open for the second part for the Q&A session. Fatafadda. Question number one. Assalamualaikum. Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Do we have to point our finger up when we read the prayer after the wudu? It is highly recommended for anybody when he makes shahada, ashadu Allah, to raise up their index finger as a sign. Not only we are reciting that ashadu Allah ilaha illallah, but our finger or body is responding, there's only one God, Allah. Yes. Assalamualaikum, Sheikh. Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. How is the possible way for a woman to perform minor ablution if she had to do it in public? If you had to do it in public, there are two ways, brothers to the sisters. If you have a group of sisters, then the other sister may help you. They may just stand around you, to cover you, so that gives you some privacy to complete your wudu. The only thing that make it difficult is their head. And that's why you can for the woman. For the man too. For the man, the Prophet allowed after if you have your wudu, the same go to the ladies, then while you are still in, when you are still having your wudu is still intact. So now you are leaving home. It's good for you to wear your socks or stocking. Then when you break your wudu, invalid your wudu, you just take your ablution. But when you come to the feet, you don't have to take up the socks and stocking. Just wipe over. You wet your hand here, wipe on the right, wipe on the left. On the socks, not below, on the top. Just one wipe. You can pray. Yeah, with the socks and stocking on. Don't take out the socks and stocking. And come to the head, where the woman's hair is aura. If it's open area, you will know that there's no privacy. Then that is the time when you wear your hijab, you must have wudu at that time. And then you can even wipe over, just wipe over the hijab from the front to the back corners, just one time. And that's how we were taught, yeah, by our Prophet, and the Prophet is here to make things easy. The Prophet said, "Yassiru wa la tu'assiru." Make it easy, don't make it difficult. For the good brothers also, when you know that if the sisters is taking wudu somewhere, you know, the brother who have the good feeling, who have the adab, will try to excuse themselves a bit and let the sister have their own privacy to do what they have to do, and then the brother will start to take their wudu. Now, it's very important for us to show respect and help each other. Yeah. Assalamualaikum. Yeah. I love Muslim, alhamdulillah. Yeah. We all love each other for the sake of Allah. And may Allah love you too. Assalamualaikum. Waalaikumsalam warahmatullah. What are the causes of us still committing the same sin? Is it because of the repentance not done correctly? Being human, brother or sister, we are not perfect. We all have our own weaknesses. And that's why Allah loves us to pray. And don't stop praying, because from one prayer to another prayer, yeah, whatever sin you committed will be erased. So you become better and better. It's not that we are so bad. It is just being human. We may commit sins. But please try your level best. From the major to the minor, make some changes, and may Allah help you. My second question, is it correct for me to understand that information regarding Islamic knowledge and practices need to be filtered with the understanding of Salaf? Yes, anything under the name Islam is very important for us to have the right knowledge. Because today, a lot of people are using the name Islam for their own benefit. And sometimes, they just exploit the ignorant one with the word Islam. They misuse this platform. When there is no evidence to say, to show that Allah said this or the Prophet have taught us, they say, this is Islamic, Islamic. Why? Where is the evidence? That's why Allah said, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكْ بِعِلْءٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَدْ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ أَنْهُمَسْ أُولَىٰ إِنْ سُرَىٰ إِسْرَىٰ. to not do or say anything without knowledge. Because your hearing, your sight, your seeing, your heart will be questioned by Allah. Islam is based on knowledge. Al-ilm qabla amal wal qawl. Knowledge always comes first before action or before you say anything about Islam. And Allah Rabbul Alamin also remind us, fas'alu ahli zikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask those who know if you do not know. And then, when you talk about Islam under the platform of Islam, it's so important to make sure that you have some evidence. And that's why Allah said, Qul hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqin. If they said this is Islam and you have doubts, ask them for evidence. If what they say is true, yes, you have to filter it, yeah, because the world today, everything you have to filter. Even the news that we receive through all the YouTube today, the government is having a hard time, keep on reminding the public, fake news, fake news. Why? Because there are a lot of people who just like to do all this nonsense. We don't know why. What make you feel that this is funny? I mean, to create liar and fake news, is that funny? Na'udzubillah. May Allah protect all of us. Yes, we need even the water we drink today. If those who are very particular about drinking clean water, you see how many filters we are doing. Outside there is a bigger filter. Inside also there's another filter. Why we do that? To make sure whatever we drink and put into our body is something clean that benefits our body. Allahu Akbar. Yes, that is just water. This is knowledge, information. If not, you corrupt your mind. Because knowledge is the food of the brain. So you must have the right knowledge. And when you say Salaf, you are referring back to the first, second, and third generation of the Muslim. That is the best generation. Because our Prophet said, yeah, Khairun nas qarni thumma lazina yalunahum thumma lazina yalunahum. The best people are the people who live in my time, the Prophet said. That is the companion and the time after them, that is the tabi'in, and the time after that, that is tabi'in. 300 years. After that, we have to have a lot of filter. Look at the characteristic of the companion, tabi'in, tabi'in. If they don't have any evidence, and people are asking them about their opinion, they may come up with some opinion. And they will say, this is my opinion. If it's against the Quran and Sunnah, maybe they don't have that particular hadith with them. They are not exposed. But if later on you come across a dalil, an evidence from the Quran, the Sunnah, to say otherwise, don't follow me. Follow the evidence. You see how careful the scholar before. If there is hadith, no more argument. All of them will just follow the evidence. Not today. Today they still say, but. But the majority, did Allah call us to follow the majority? No. But my father, my mother, my grandfather, did Allah call you to follow your father, your grandfather? Allah called us to follow what was revealed in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. That's all. And the Prophet said, Allahu Akbar. Man ya'ish minkum ba'di fasayara ikhtilafan kathira fa'alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafa ar-rashidin. Whoever live after my death, you are sure to be exposed to see a lot of division among my people. Hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of my righteous khalifa. That's why we can follow that. Not just follow anybody. And by falling back first, second, third generation, we are calling people back to the Salafus Salih. Yes, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all the wrong understanding, misguidance, and this is what we have been asking, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. Everybody is claiming we should follow the Quran and Sunnah. Let us make sure that what we say is what we follow. And when talk about Sunnah, that's why the Salaf are very careful to make sure that the hadith that we are referring to is authentic hadith, is sahih hadith, is hasan, is not maudu, da'if, or other category. La asala. La aslu lahu. We don't follow just any hadith. We choose, alhamdulillah, all the hadith is being collected and is being compiled in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, alhamdulillah. Sahih Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, just follow. Brother and sister, Allahu Akbar, everything is there already, been compiled, and we are still arguing, I just don't understand. So may Allah help us to become a good practicing Muslim who is humble to follow the truth, nothing but the truth. If any of ours saying that contradict any sunnah, hadith, that is of that, please let us know and we will pull back what we say. Or we can say, oh, there are so many hadith, all are sahih, means you are given a choice to do this and that, because sometimes the Prophet gives us choices. So when there's evidence, no problem. When there's none, let us humble, be humble and follow the right hadith. May Allah bless us, may Allah protect us, may Allah accept our prayer, our wudu, and the time you spend to seek the knowledge, may Allah make it easy for all of you, and may Allah protect all of us from all the virus that we are facing today. Please, brother and sister, don't forget to ask Allah for protection. At the end of the day, He is the only one who can save us from all this calamity and virus. And try our best to follow the instruction from the authority to safeguard ourselves, our loved one, and also everybody. By following what Allah and the Prophet want us to do and the authority, we are sure to have a good ending. So may Allah accept our deeds and give us extra sabar, patience to move on. And may Allah protect all of us, our children, our loved one, and our countrymen and women. And may Allah protect the security forces. May Allah protect all the frontliners and those who are responding to the call of the government. We also can consider ourselves as frontline. I always remember what the frontliner shared with me, that since the day when the government announced the lockdown until today, they never go home and see their loved one. May Allah reward them for their patience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the sabar that we need. وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ وَرَبِّ دَعْوَنَا وَالْحَمْدِ بِالْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. From me and Brother Sharif is going to come in soon. Please hold on and follow his